the right-wing attacks that Stephen is referring to, mostly January 6th, triggered like the largest FBI investigation in the nation's history. They hunted down people, even the ones that were just trespassing. And by the way, people absolutely did violence, and they should not have been pardoned or commuted, the ones that actually attacked police officers. Which he did, but they should not have been pardoned or commuted. But like, this led to the largest manhunt in like the history of the FBI. When Antifa rioters rioted for hundreds of days during the Black Lives Matter riots, if you go look at the books, those people got settlements from all these major metropolitan areas.
No, so they got paid. There were 10,000 to 15,000 arrests and everything. Not every single one got settlements from police departments. That's an outlandish claim.
A bunch of these groups got settlements. The city of Chicago, I just covered it, paid out $12 million in settlements.
Were settled. That's fine, but one, that's not a federal. That's just the city of Chicago. It's not the FBI. It's not a federal thing. Number two, my guess is just like with the J6 defendants,
yeah, when
you look at the details
no
of literally any of these cases, you guys are completely off on the details almost every single time. You're missing a huge part that would dramatically change how people would view the actual thing itself. And then number three, the FBI, you talk about how it was the largest investigation of all time. It was also the largest undoing of an investigation of all time. You had Kash Patel running in and firing every single federal employee that had been involved in any kind of investigation related to Donald Trump, even the Mar-a-Lago stuff. You had a mass pardon for everybody involved. You have pardons now for people that were convicted of seditious conspiracy for the same guy they were seditiously conspiring themselves for. And you had a payout for Ashley Babbitt when she was killed for trying to break through a window to go and seize congressmen in the Capitol during an insurrection. So the idea that it was the largest FBI investigation of all time, when you had Donald Trump literally celebrating Mueller's death, a couple weeks ago, is insane to me. It's not even remotely close to the same on both sides on this.
So the reaction federally was much more extreme to January 6th.
But is that not valid to have a pretty strong federal reaction to
I'm just pointing out the standard. Like, if you want to investigate and hunt down these people that did violence, like, I don't think they should have been pardoned. I don't excuse them. But the idea that there wasn't a massive federal response to that is just not true.
I think we all agree there was a strong federal response.
But it was a strong federal attack. It was a strong attack on federal property. Antifa was not rioting against just federal buildings or a singular federal building. The J6 thing was
they do attack a lot of federal buildings.
Sure, actually. They do. And in those cases, they should be charged
and arrested for it. The White House in May
of
that year, sure. The federal courthouse in Portland for 100 days straight.
Yeah, you guys love to go to those things while making excuses for all the J6 people. It was only trespassing.
I'm not making an excuse. You're talking to somebody who's not here. I'm not making an excuse for them. I'm saying they should not have been pardoned.
Yeah, let me just check up quick. Did you say only trespassing? You said they were only trespassing, right?
I said...
That you said
no,
they were
no,
only
I said
the, Brad, did you hear him say they were only trespassing? Sean seems to have
I didn't say they were
did
only
say,
trespassing.
He
was
differentiating
wait,
that
yeah, but did he did I
was differentiating was, I was differentiating the few the people who were trespassing and didn't commit serious crimes
okay,
versus the
okay,
ones who did
sure,
any act of violence.
Cool.
Second, you could rewind
is trespassing,
the tape.
Yeah, is trespassing a crime?
Yeah, it is a crime.
Oh, okay, cool. So then they probably should have been investigated and arrested if it was easy to find them. I agree.
I mean, again, but the scale of trespassing to like the actual violence and the people who should have been prosecuted is completely different.
What do you mean the scale up? What is a comparable attack on federal property?
The scale of trespassing to violent crimes? Like, what do you mean? One is like one of the lowest level misdemeanors or violations. And a violent crime is a violent crime, but usually classified as a felony.
Isn't that going to be the same in probably every single rioting event? Do you think the majority of rioters are also committing violent crime? Or do you think the majority of them are also like breaking and entering or trespassing?
Well, the rioters are typically breaking and entering.
And trespassing,
the people
right?
doing the riot.
But the vast majority of
yeah,
the people
trespassing
are not committing
would be
violent
included
crimes,
in
right?
there. But there's obviously a distinction that you're trying to like breeze over between the people who are walking through the building or might have been directed through the building at certain
directed
points in time
through
and
the building,
didn't touch anything.
All the excuses. I'm just curious. Do you think that Donald Trump lose the 2020 election?
He lost the 2020 election. Biden was president for 4 years. Okay. What are you talking about? Yeah. So, there were people that were definitely directed, didn't touch anything, and they moved through the building, and then they left.
The people that were directed were people that had already trespassed, that were being directed into other areas for police control. They weren't led into the building. They weren't guided in.
First of all, he's trying to misconstrue.
I'm not
saying
you're the one that brought it up. You said led through the building. Why even bring that up? It's not even relevant.
I'm not saying that there's a grand police conspiracy to like direct these people in there to frame them or anything of the sort. But there are things called strategic retreats where they try to funnel people into different ways in order to prevent a crowd. Like, I've been defending the Capitol Police on this for years. Like, you just haven't paid attention
to
that.
I'll say this, Stephen. You got to give Sean a little credit. He is not a blind MAGA.
What?
Culture.
No, he's literally giving every pass possible literally uttering every dog whistle
Trump
he can. He literally says
they were going after people who were just trespassing while Antifa was
there were people who were hundreds
of days.
Trespassing is a crime, buddy. Sorry, it is. Especially if you're doing it in conjunction with a ton
of other
people.
I never said that it wasn't.
Then why complain about it?
All right. Because we're going to move along, guys. Right. Guys, we're going to move along to the final topic here while we have time. Which I'm sure you guys will totally agree on and won't be contentious at all. The latest on the political fallout from the ongoing Iran war, that's not a war, but it's also a war that we've been fighting for 47 years. Trump, here's the headline from Mediaite, Trump drops jaw-dropping attack on Democrats opposing Iran war, traitors all. Of course, the penalty for being a traitor is, of course, death. Here's from his post on Truth Social. The Democrats are doing everything possible to hurt the very strong position we are in with respect to Iran. A little further down in the post here, he says, we're in it and it will be done right. And we won't let the weak and pathetic Democrats, traitors all, who for years have been talking about the dangers of Iran and that something has to be done. But now, since I'm the one doing it, belittle the accomplishments of our military and the Trump administration. This is, quote, being perfectly executed on the scale of Venezuela, just a bigger, more complex operation. I mean, so there's layers here, Sean, but I think surely you can agree that opposing Trump's war with Iran does not, in fact, make a Democrat or an independent, like myself, a traitor.
No, it doesn't make you a traitor. Treason is like the most overthrown around thing in the United States of America's political discourse. Treason's like the only crime defined in the Constitution. Like, you can't change the definition in the United States of America. Almost nothing meets that standard. Like, it's just not the case. So yeah, this is very much like the, oh, you're opposed to the war, you hate the troops kind of rhetoric. It's dumb, it's stupid, I don't like it. Even the people, and I think there was like a Chris Murphy tweet that people were highlighting where he was like cheering Iranian boats making it through the blockade. And like, even people who are like rooting for like Iran are not technically traitors in the United States of America. Like, it's weird.
That tweet, while a mistake, was also meant ironically, potentially, that he was saying, like,
probably
amazing, as in pointing out that it's going poorly, not as in he's actually rooting for the Iranian ships. But even that
that's
would
probably
not
a good
constitute
point.
Treason.
But even rooting for the enemy, even though that I find that to be reprehensible, is not treason. So, yeah, it's the most overblown thing. I'm never, like, interested in that all that much.
But as for this question here, well, hang on. I want to get your thoughts, because rather than just have Stephen obviously agree with that, do you agree with Trump's assessment that this is being perfectly executed, and that where is your general thoughts on how this is going with Iran?
I mean, I don't know if it's being perfectly executed or not. I assume Trump likes to exaggerate and, like, he likes to sell people on things. Obviously, things are going bad. Like, things are going good. Like, that's the nature of a military operation. But the comparison to Venezuela, I mean, that was a quick and easy, like, relatively, removal of Nicolas Maduro that cost no American lives. I believe we're up to 13 casualties, which is not considered a lot, but you don't have any ground troops there. So, like, maybe that is a lot. So I don't think this is, like, perfectly executed or anything of the sort. But I also don't think it's, like, an apocalyptic disaster or a quagmire right now. It's, like, hard to have a quagmire with, like, less than 2 months in my opinion.
Well, it threatens to become one, obviously.
It could become one, sure, but, like, anything could become something else.
Yeah, I just don't understand what the accomplishments here are other than decimating, like, the Iranian Navy.
Their leadership.
And military. But, okay, but we replace the leadership with, like, the leadership's son and with more hardline IRGC elements. So it's like, we haven't replaced the regime. We haven't been able to reopen the Strait of Hormuz, which was open at the start of the war. I don't believe the nuclear imminent threat notion, and they've been all over the map on that. It's just, to me, this tweet feels like cope, like if the war was actually going well. Also, he's talking about Democrats sabotaging the war. How? They literally have no power over anything. They can't do anything except make statements and vote symbolically. They don't control the House. They don't control the Senate. Like, how are they sabotaging the war other than talking about it negatively? The tweet, Stephen, and maybe you probably agree with this, feels like him lashing out. And if it was actually going well, he wouldn't need to be schizo posting like this.
I just want to go back to how gross it was that Zohran took a day to condemn the Islamic extremists while Trump is talking about ending civilizations and blaming Democrats. Well, I mean, like, it's just like, this is like example 7 trillion of like Trump just saying an unbelievably reprehensible, insane thing that everybody on the conservative side essentially gives him a pass for. I mean, yeah, nothing speaks like strength.
Trump did not give him a pass.
What? No, it's basically, none of this stuff is like moving the needle on how these people feel about Trump, broadly speaking. It's all just like epic and memes when Trump tweets it out. So, I mean, what are you going to do?
What about your thoughts on the war being perfectly executed?
I don't even know how you would define that. I'm sure there are a lot of his friends making money on Polymarket right now, and apparently the United States energy market can be insulated from the rest of the world, and since we make all of our own oil, it's not going to affect our gas prices at all or anything. So, you know, whatever Trump says, he's got a better mind for econ than the rest of us do, I guess.
Yeah, okay, Sean, your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, obviously that's not true. Energy is traded on a global scale. Like, having local production doesn't exempt you, unless you're subsidizing energy for your citizen. But even then, that costs you a significant amount of money in order to do that. But yeah, like, I don't think the war is going perfectly. Like, ideally, if you started taking out leadership, you would hope for an uprising of the population and they would do part of the work for you. But most of the Iranian people aren't armed, so like, they can't really overwhelm the IRGC. You also have the Kurds that maybe they're tired of being used by the United States of America to fight and then not get a Kurdish state. So they don't seem to be all that interested in participating in I believe, the west of Iran. Like, you know, I think the plan at one point was to arm Kurdish fighters and send them into like at least Kurdish areas. So yeah, it's not going perfectly. Like, this is obviously an exaggeration at this
point
in time.
So you voted for Trump, right, Sean?
No, I don't vote.
Oh, you don't vote. Interesting.
He supported Trump, though, and wanted people to vote for Trump and was largely supporting
I preferred Trump to I preferred yes. Trump to Kamala Harris.
I mean, can you acknowledge, though, that Trump, whatever you think of the war, it's like objectively not what he campaigned on, right? The amount of times that he said no new wars and has like explicitly built this ideology and movement as against that, against Middle Eastern regime change wars. I feel like, and I've known people in Republican politics and in conservative intellectual world who've wanted a regime change war against Iran for a long time. And obviously I think the Iranian regime is evil, and we can discuss all of it. But I feel like the whiplash between Trump, everything he built the MAGA movement around, and what he then immediately did upon taking office is just like been skipped over. Can you at least acknowledge that it's like quite the 180 degree?
Well, I actually don't agree. Like, he was very clear for over a decade and maybe even longer than that in private life that he didn't want Iran to have a nuclear weapon. Like, you could say that you don't believe that they were going to develop it imminently, but if you made a list of countries with
Trump
60%,
the administration said that.
If you made a list, I'm saying you can say you don't believe that. That's fine. But if you made a list of countries with 60% enriched uranium that aren't nuclear powers, it would be one nation, the nation of Iran. So like, it's not like there is no nuclear threat. Like, they've been sabotaging this program.
Well,
the United States.
I'm just curious. So, what did Trump mean when he said no new wars? What did that mean?
Well, I'm sure. Look, he had contradictory messaging for sure, but he was clear that he didn't want Iran to get a nuclear weapon.
So then he wasn't clear when he said no new wars, right?
Under oath that they weren't building a nuclear weapon after Trump became president again for the second time.
I mean, who testified? Tulsi Gabbard?
Yeah, the DNI, the director.
Okay, but like, they still have 60% enriched uranium. Like, it's not like, I don't know if they were about to build a bomb. Like, you know, I know people are saying 1 week away, which I think is a stupid thing to say. It's too evocative of Iraq and weapons of mass destruction. I mean, you might as well throw ties to Al Qaeda in there. Most people don't know the Shia Sunni split. I'm sure you could get away with that. But like, yeah, they shouldn't have advocated on that. But they do have 60% enriched uranium.
They also
this
told
is
us
far
they had
beyond
all been destroyed in the initial bombing, right? The White
they
House
shouldn't
website.
Have said
it's
that. That was not.
Up.
Well, it
was
that they devastated
messaging. Brad.
It was that
it was
they. No, no.
Messaging.
First of all, they said that they said that they devastated their nuclear sites, but it was reported that their uranium was moved prior to the U.S. and Israel bombing those sites. June or July.
I can pull up. I have it pulled up here actually, and they said that they were set back decades. And then, and this was, let me see if the date is on this, June 25th, 2025. And then, you know, less than a year later, he's launching a war about a supposed imminent threat. So either the first time he was blatant, like lying or somehow wrong, which is, you know, a massive catastrophe for the administration, or it's not actually an imminent nuclear threat that would justify some kind of launching a war.
Like, again, so first of all, him lying about the scale of the attack and its success last year, 100% very likely to happen. But also, they weren't, it's not that, I don't think they were a week away from a nuclear bomb or anything of the sort. But the point is, they do have 60% enriched uranium. This is far above civilian grade. And the idea that you wait for a hostile foreign power to develop a nuke or to be like right a day away from developing a nuke before you take action, to me, is absurd. I mean, everything that's happening right now with the closing of the Strait of Hormuz and the pressure on the world economy, Iran would be able to do plus a nuclear weapon. Like, we don't want another North Korean style regime in a much more crucial part of the world. So this is like what they're trying to avoid.
All right, Steven, your thoughts.
Yeah, maybe they shouldn't have pulled out of the Iranian nuclear deal then when Trump came into office that he tore up because Obama made it and he was mad about it.
Let Steven make his point.
Sure.
Well, no, I mean, like, that's it. I mean, like, this is supposed to be the president who negotiates new deals. He hasn't negotiated anything. We're, you know, looking for negotiations with Iran right now. That sounds like it's going to put them in a better position than before the war. We've got a president who didn't plan for anything related to the closure of the Strait of Hormuz, which is unbelievable. We've got a president who's alienated himself from all of his allies for the entirety of this presidency. And now he's surprised that nobody wants to help him clean up the mess that he created for literally no reason in Iran. We've got a president who, you know, put a pin in the timeline right now. Sean is defending everything the U.S. is doing right now, claiming that the United States and Trump lied about the Iranian weapons being destroyed, I guess, a year ago. Well, what if they're lying right now when we go to war again, a year after today, saying that everything he said today was actually a lie, and in a year he's going to clean up the lies that he made last time? Like, these are worse and more blatant. Like, at least Bush and Cheney had the wherewithal to lie to the American public by, you know, like, creating their little special office and trying to fabricate this whole idea to go to war with Iraq, as opposed to Trump, who just, like, makes up whatever lie comes to his mind, you know, every single day, and doesn't even include the rest of the administration up in his lies. So, no, I like this idea of that Trump can say whatever and do no wrong, and it's all just memes and trolls, and, you know, maybe he's lying today, but tomorrow won't be, but tomorrow will be a lie when the next day comes. It's just deeply unserious to me.
All right, guys, we are going to leave it there. Thank you both so much for your time. Really appreciate the conversation.